Hey there, Chamber World. Jay Revel here. Welcome to another installment of the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce podcast. I am thrilled to be with you this morning. As you can tell right away, folks, we've got one of my good friends and hopefully yours, Mayor John Daly, with us today. The mayor and I go way back, and he can't even let me get through the introduction without cracking up. So I'm sure we're going to have a fun one today. I promise you I will ask him at least a serious question somewhere along the way, but we'll definitely have some fun. And folks, if you have not had the opportunity to meet Mayor Daly along maybe the campaign trail or at a community meeting or somewhere where the city commission's doing the fine work they do, I hope you'll reach out to him at some point and sit down with him, because John's a great and genuine person, someone who loves Tallahassee very much, and someone who I have always enjoyed spending time talking with, and I'm thrilled to have him on the show today. Mayor Daly, welcome to the Chamber Podcast.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
How are you this morning?
Doing great. It was a beautiful weekend in Tallahassee. We had Word of South. We had great sports going on. It's just another reminder that Tallahassee is a beautiful place to live, work, and play.
That's right. Yeah, we're kind of right in the middle of festival season. I think we've got Chain of Parks coming up this week.
Chain
all
of
kinds
Parks.
Of good stuff.
It's number one arts festival in the nation. Yeah, you can't beat it.
Can't beat it. Exactly. We're very fortunate, Mayor Daly, to live in a beautiful city, in a place that affords us a wonderful quality of life. But it's every day. It takes a lot of work to keep this city moving, right? And why don't you start us off with what made you want to jump in to run for mayor of Tallahassee? And folks, if you don't know, again, real quick, John, quick background: 12 years on the county commission, where I had the distinct pleasure of working with you for a couple of those.
Is that your disclaimer?
That's the disclaimer, exactly right. You'll be an asterisk at the bottom of the show notes. And in 20, what year is this now? We're in 2019. So 2018, you decided to run for mayor. So tell us a little bit about that decision and kind of that journey so far.
I love Tallahassee. I am a product of Tallahassee. I grew up in Tallahassee. I went to college here in Tallahassee. I met my wife here in Tallahassee, and this is where we have decided to raise our kids. And we spent 7 wonderful years out and about and came back to Tallahassee specifically because this is where we want to live. This is where we want to work. This is where we want to play. And this is where we want to raise kids. And everybody contributes to their community in different ways. And everybody has their own different temperaments and talents and give back in different ways. I figured out early on that I am a huge fan and a student of government. And I figured out early on that the best way that I can give back is to be involved with the process. And I always thought that I would run for municipal office first, Jay. But in 2006, there was an open seat on the county commission. I threw my hat in the ring, and I was lucky enough to represent the good citizens of District 3 on the county commission for 12 years. Absolutely loved it. Got a great team over at the county. They're doing amazing things. But last year, the mayor's seat became open, and it was the right time in my life to step up to the plate and try to tackle some of the issues that our city hall is facing right now. And we need great leadership that's going to take the city to the next level. I truly believe that I'm in the right place at the right time in my life to be able to step up and offer myself as mayor of Tallahassee. It was a great campaign season. As a result, 4 of your 5 city commissioners are brand new, including myself as mayor. It's exciting times in Tallahassee, and we're moving forward.
Yeah, I see you maybe in a slightly different light than some people do. One of the things I always makes me smile. I kind of think of you as the minivan mayor, right? I mean, you're in which is, I mean, an endearing term. The boys are how old are the boys now?
The boys are in elementary school.
Right. Okay. So fantastic age. Saw them. We all had a meeting at Gilchrist not long ago. Fully engaged there.
Stealing the snacks.
Stealing
in the back
snacks,
of the room.
Right?
That's
and you're having
daily,
a good
that's
time.
That's what the Daily Boys do.
Teaching them well.
Steal the snacks.
Teaching them well.
Sure.
And your wife, Jenny, just for those who may not know, tell us everybody what Jenny, a little bit about Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny's an attorney here in Tallahassee. Yeah. And you're right, we're raising 2 boys here in Tallahassee, and it's just a phenomenal time. You know, and there's so many things about the city that impacts our lives, whether it's good infrastructure and roads and sidewalks and streetlights, public safety, whatever the issue is. For us in particular, too, it's also parks and recreation and programming. I mean, we find ourselves at one of the parks almost every night of the week. Right now, we're playing some baseball, but we've also played flag football. We've done soccer. And I think that's one of the things that makes Tallahassee so unique is that we have incredible programming that is geared towards the family. And my family is no different from anyone else. We benefit from this incredible Parks and Rec system that we have here.
Yeah. And I have a lot of, brings me joy to know that my public officials are constantly participating in everyday Tallahassee, right? And, you know, you've also got some other commissioners up there who, in their own ways, have gone through that and do that every day. And so when you go to a meeting, I think it's neat to be able to know that your commissioners really do have a feel for kind of what's going on the ground level, and I think you do a good job of that.
Man, I almost got caught having to call a baseball game the other night. We were running a little short of umpires, and that is not my strength, and I'm glad that I didn't have to step up to the plate, both literally and figuratively, and call a 10-year-old baseball game. That would have been quite interesting.
I did that job one summer. I can attest it is literally the worst way you can possibly make a paycheck. Angry parents are really something.
Actually, the parents have gotten to be really good.
That's good.
I think that's one of the great things about Tallahassee is that, you know, the parents are out there to help the kids succeed, learn some life lessons on the ball field, be supportive. But our Parks and Rec programs are really strong. And I think parents are really respecting what the role of the parent is on the sideline, to encourage the students to get out there and do the best they can.
You know, I that's a good point. I think people maybe, again, when you're zipping through traffic every day or you're walking the dog at night or just, you know, getting the family through everyday life or whatever you're up to or just trying to go out and make a paycheck, it's easy to forget that Tallahassee does have some truly best-in-class amenities as a community. I mean, you mentioned Parks and Rec. I mean, we have one of the best Parks and Rec departments, have the world's best tasting water, have been All-American City a handful of times. But
one of the best public utilities.
That's right, yeah. Lots of great things, some great accolades out there, wonderful people working every day to make our city great. But we also have challenges. And these are interesting times in Tallahassee. And, folks, if you followed headlines over the last couple of years, there's certainly things that that folks like the mayor are working hard on every day to maybe even correct course on, you might say. John, can you paint us a picture a little bit, sort of what the challenges are in front of us and where you see us moving over the next couple of years?
Well, one of the unique things about Tallahassee, especially growing up here in Tallahassee, you know, we still have that small town charm where everybody knows everybody and you walk down the street and everybody says hi to everybody. But we tend to forget that out of 412 municipalities in the state of Florida with an average population of around 10,000, we're actually the eighth largest municipality with a population of 190,000. We are a large city in relative terms to other municipalities across the state. With that also comes, you know, medium and large size city hurdles that we have to deal with, whether it's public infrastructure, whether it's public safety, whatever the issue may be, growth, economic growth, you know, how do we do it right and how do we move this community forward? So, yes, we are like all other communities where we have our challenges and each day we wake up and try to make this place a better place to live. But no doubt there's challenges that we're dealing with. And I think it's important for people to realize that we have a new commission. We're heading in the right direction. We've got some big, bold ideas on the table, but things are not going to change overnight. Change needs to be deliberate. Change needs to be focused, but it's not going to happen overnight. And everybody's got a seat at the table to make that change happen.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to watch those new dynamics with your new commission. Again, you have 4 out of 5 brand new to the city commission this year. You've got a new city manager. You've got a relatively new city attorney. You've got a new city auditor. I mean, it's a lot of fresh faces at City Hall these days. And again, for folks who maybe don't spend time going to city commission meetings, any big takeaway there that you'd want people to really know about, what this new commission and new team at the city is up to?
Well, first of all, I will tell you that I have heard from people from all across the community that have said that the environment and the attitude within the city commission chambers during meetings is night and day. It is more welcoming, it is more inviting, and as a result, we have a lot of people that are starting to participate in city commission meetings and workshops and town hall meetings. That is important. That is how democracy moves forward. Municipal government is closest to the people. We know that with working with the community, we'll be able to make the best decisions for our local community. That's the basis of home rule authority and local control. And so I welcome people, even if you're frustrated with your city government, to come down and to get involved and let us know what we're doing right, what we need to work on, what are the challenges, and how we can all work together. But the attitude has definitely changed.
Yeah, I think that's been pretty clear for, again, from my perspective, at least, you know, coming and attending some meetings, it definitely seems like there's more opportunity than ever for people to lean in and engage with their city government, which is a good thing. And I know you have a public servant's heart, and you know, it's always a delight to hear people's redressing of their government in 3-minute intervals, which is fun. And
well, let's talk about that though, because it's very important. You know, when we talk about your First Amendment rights, we can always tick off, you know, the first ones. We know them by heart. We learned them in school. Freedom of speech, and that's not even what I'm talking about. You know, freedom to gather, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. But the truth is that the last variable of the First Amendment, you know, you have a right to redress your government. You have a constitutional right to come and tell us if you think you're off track and you're heading in the wrong direction. Now, as mayor, I expect respect. And I expect us to act civilly in the chambers, and I want to have a great adult conversation, and thus far we've been able to maintain that. But nonetheless, if you have a problem with the city commission and the direction that we're heading, you have a constitutional right, a First Amendment right, to come and let us know. And for that, we will always give everybody the opportunity to speak, and we will sit until the last citizen has the opportunity to speak. I've even changed the format of the meetings to include more public participation. We now have public participation at the beginning of the meeting, at the end of the meeting, and we allow public participation on every single agenda item. And I think it's very important. You have to be completely accessible, not only before the meetings and after the meetings, but actually during the meetings as well.
No doubt. And, you know, this is maybe an important thing maybe to speak about for just a minute, because I think, you know, maybe your average, you know, Joe or Jane citizen may not know the finer details of our city charter and how our government is oriented. Can you, as a student of local government, can you give everybody the crash course in how our local government is oriented, just so people understand what the role of the mayor is?
Sure. Well, we are a council management form of government with a directly elected mayor. My role as mayor is, number one, I am the official voice and the official signature of the city of Tallahassee, and I also consider myself the chief cheerleader out there promoting Tallahassee and everything that she has to offer to the citizens. My goal is also to run, and my duty is to run the best meetings that I possibly can, keep us efficient, keep us on task, keep us moving forward. I have the ability to put things on the agenda, much like the city manager has the ability to put things on the agenda. But really, we have to work as a team. All five of us have to work together. Now, look, you're not going to have a 5-0 vote on every single issue. Sometimes you have a 4-1, sometimes you have a 3-2. Sometimes you're on the prevailing side, sometimes you're on the losing side. But that's how democracy works. And it's important that the five of us get along very well. But my role as mayor is to be the chief cheerleader, to be the official signatory, to be the official face of the city when we have our intergovernmental relations, whether it's with the county, whether it's with the school board, the state, or the federal government, to be the chief cheerleader and to keep us on track during our meetings and moving forward under our focused view.
That's fantastic. And, you know, as the chief cheerleader, one of the things that I've heard you speak about, which brings me great joy, is our upcoming bicentennial here in Tallahassee. If folks, if you're not a student of local history, Tallahassee was founded on March.
Yeah,
that's right, March the 4th, 1824. We are rapidly approaching our bicentennial anniversary, which will come here in 2024. Can you, know, John, as mayor, can you tell us a little bit about sort of maybe your vision for the community in the next few years, and what does it mean to have that bicentennial opportunity, and what's the opportunity look like?
Well, we do have a very unique opportunity in the fact that in 5 years from now, we will celebrate our 200th birthday. And one of the things I was very keen on when I first got elected to office was making sure that this government is laser focused and has a roadmap into the future. We did not have a strategic plan leading up to this new commission. And so we would handle issues on a year-to-year basis, and there was the opportunity for those issues to completely change from year to year. What I have found through my experience is that continuity is key. Some of these big issues you're not going to solve necessarily in 1 year, and so you have to set the roadmap. You have to have a strategic plan that you can focus on in order to be able to move this community forward. Many organizations and other governments have had tremendous success with a five-year strategic plan. Of course, you need to think 10 years out, 20 years out, 50 years out. But the first 5 years is crucial. So at our retreat, we put the bone structure together for the first five-year strategic plan. Over the course of this year, we're putting the meat on the bones. And at the end of 2019, we will be presented and will approve the first five-year strategic plan. The beauty of that is that in 5 years, we will be celebrating our 200th celebration, and at the same time have the opportunity to truly celebrate the end of the first five-year strategic plan, where we have metrics in place where we can measure our successes and we can identify where we still need to work and maybe change our course to accomplish our goals. Nonetheless, we are focused, we are moving forward, and we do have our five-year strategic plan, and you're right, it does coincide with our 200th birthday.
What a great opportunity. In case you're wondering, folks, it's 4 years, 324 days, 16 hours, 2 minutes, 15, 14, 13, 12 seconds. But who's counting?
I think you're the only one counting on that level.
Well,
Jay
you can
Rebel,
go so. To TLH200.com and actually get a sense of just how far out we are at any time you please, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, we talk about planning. We talk about having a vision for the horizon of our community. We just got back from a wonderful trip to Greenville, South Carolina, which may be the poster child for city planning. I mean, these folks really have built that into the mantra of who they are as a community planning, and both from the strategic sense and from the urban regional planning sense. And I know you've also got a background in that, John. Can you give everybody a picture of what maybe you saw in a city like Greenville and maybe some of the takeaways? What can we learn?
Well, there's three important takeaways from the Greenville trip, and it was a wonderful trip, and I appreciate the chamber putting it together. First of all, I am a true fan of best practices, and I think it is great to go visit other communities that are tackling the same issues that we're tackling and see how they've handled those issues. You can always learn a lot from other communities by having boots on the ground and being there. It's different from studying it in an academic article or, you know, a podcast or something. You have to actually go and physically be there and be able to talk with those that are in charge and talk to the citizens to figure out what's working and what's not working. So I'm a big fan of best practices. Number two, it is also a stark reminder that we live in a beautiful community and actually we are doing a lot of things right. I can tell you, as mayor of Tallahassee, I fielded just as many questions from the citizens and from the electeds and the appointeds of Greenville about how we are handling our issues and some of the amazing things that we have done, whether it's redevelopment around Cascades Park all the way down to our services that we provide. So it reminded me that we are on the right track. We're doing a lot of amazing things as well. Finally, it is a great way to reconnect with citizens from the community that you don't see on a day-to-day basis, that you have the opportunity to work hand-in-hand on, that are truly interested in moving the community forward, and that's important as well. You know, I had the opportunity to spend time with Tallahasseans that were on the trip that I haven't seen in a long time, that have a lot of great ideas. They have specific skill sets that they bring to the table. So the collaboration around moving the community forward was fantastic. What are some of the takeaways? Well, I'm a true believer in the 880 city and the practice behind. It's an academic philosophy of, as you design your communities, you should design it with the 8-year-old in mind and with the 80-year-old in mind. And if an 8-year-old can enjoy your downtown and an 80-year-old can enjoy your downtown, everyone between those ages will enjoy it as well. Mm-hmm. I do have a background in urban and regional planning, and one thing that they have done very well, and we're on track too, is that they have turned their downtown into a very pedestrian-friendly. They've been able to revitalize from a business standpoint a lot of the local shops and restaurants. They've been able to take advantage of some natural features that they have there and have really been able to build it out. Another takeaway that I learned is that the city played a very important role in helping that redevelopment down in the downtown area. And that's something that I'm sure that we can talk about, you know, in future questions, is what is the role of the city as well. But the other thing that I learned is continuity. I had the opportunity to spend time with Mayor Knox White of Greenville, South Carolina. What an amazing gentleman. Matter of fact, while we were there, he just won his seventh 4-year term as mayor of Greenville without opposition. He is beloved by his people. He has truly been a leader, and he has done some amazing work. ironically, they have the same form of government as we have here in Tallahassee, which is a council management form of government with a directly elected mayor. So my point is that a lot of the amazing things that we learned and saw up in Greenville, we can recreate right here in Tallahassee. On top of that, a lot of the things that we are doing, we are on the right track, and they were just as interested in what we were doing. I would not be surprised to see a delegation from other communities, if not Greenville itself, come to Tallahassee to check out what we're doing and how we're doing it well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, Tallahassee continues to march in a direction where there is a lot for other communities to learn. You know, certainly not perfect, but, you know, again, you go down to a Cascades Park for a Word of South Festival just this past weekend. You see families and kids laughing and every age range, very diverse crowd out there sampling some of the best culture we have on display. And not only is there construction in the foreground, but there's cranes in the background. I mean, there's a lot happening here, and it's great to see you and your other elected officials with a great pulse on that these days, and really pressing the need to move forward. So,
well, one of the things that was really, really neat was the Greenville officials recognizing Tallahassee, one of the top 10 cities by Southern Living Magazine to live in the South, and the only city in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Recently just named one of the best places, 100 best places in the nation to live. Two-time All-American city. All-American Tree City. We have the best arts festival in the nation. Word of South as well recognizes one of the best music and literary festivals in the southeastern United States. Springtime Tallahassee, absolutely amazing, puts us on the mark. One of the best trail systems in the United States as recognized by the industry as well. Tallahassee has a lot to offer, and we have a lot that we can teach other communities as well.
I've seen you offer your sales pitch to folks before on our great community, and it's always well done, and I think it always lands a few choice points. If someone's listening today and maybe they're new to Tallahassee or maybe they're not in Tallahassee and they're listening coming through, what should they know about Tallahassee? What's our best selling point in your mind?
Well, number one, we are rich in history and culture. And if you think about it, people have been gathering in the Red Hills of North Florida for hundreds, if not thousands of years to make a difference in the quality of life. For the past 195 years, we've either been the capital of the territory or the capital of the great state of Florida. We are a rich tradition when it comes to government and government services. We've got two fine universities and a community college. Our sports programs rival professional sports programs. And in the past 2 years, we've taken home three national titles. Our arts and entertainment are second to none. Our community theater rivals sometimes Broadway because we have students from the Florida State Theater School, which is ranked one of the best in the country, in our community theater. And during the summers, they're practicing on Broadway. Our natural beauty is second to none. We are nationally recognized by our parks and trail system. Tallahassee is a tree city. We take for granted these amazing trees all over downtown Tallahassee. Our climate is second to none. We're close to the coast. I mean, I could go on and on, Jay. We have so much to offer. Work, live, play.
Sounds pretty good to me.
I left you speech. I can't believe I left Jay Rebel speechless. My goodness. My goodness.
No, I mean, it's easy, I think, for any of us. Again, you get kind of sucked into the day-to-day grind of trying to move the community forward, trying to work on things and work with different folks and companies. And
so here's my challenge.
Forget a lot of those
details. To the citizens that live here in Tallahassee, get out and see your community. Mm-hmm. Get out of the daily grind. Get out of your routine and go see Tallahassee. When was the last time you took a stroll around Cascades Park? When was the last time you went out and rode the Red Bug Trail? When was the last time you went out and had a picnic in the chain of parks? When was the last time you went out and visited Tom Brown Park? Get out and see your community. Come downtown for one of the festivals. Come downtown for dinner. Go hit Midtown for some live music. Go hit College Town before a baseball game. We've got so much to offer in this community. I challenge you to get out of your comfort zone and experience your backyard.
No doubt. Yeah, there is a lot to see, and I think that's a good challenge and something that hopefully folks you'll take the mayor up on. Mayor, let's kind of go I want to go in a rapid fire mode here, talk about a couple of things that are sort of on the agenda at City Hall and on your agenda as mayor, and just get your takes on. For starters, let's talk about jobs and the economy. What's your kind of big takeaway on where we sit there today, and where do you want to see us move in that direction?
Well, number one, I want to aggressively recruit new businesses to this community. We are known as a government town. We are known as a university town. I want to be known as a tech sector. And what Greenville might have done with the automotive industry, we can do with magnetics. We have got the resources right here in our backyard. And in fact, we have scientists from all over the world that fly to Tallahassee to do research here. We have all of the infrastructure in place. It is time to aggressively recruit new businesses to this community. As you recruit new businesses, especially in the tech sector, it gives you the opportunity to expand your economic footprint, provides a new and different job set to Tallahassee, for Tallahasseeans, and it allows us to move our community forward. So number one, I think that we should aggressively recruit new businesses to town. Number two, we need to do a better job training our workforce. We are in dire need of skilled workforce, everything from brick masons to electricians to plumbers to welders to diesel mechanics. These programs have 100% job placement with incredible starting salaries, anywhere from $40,000 up. I have launched a jobs program at the city of Tallahassee in conjunction with the county and with the school board, specifically training heavy equipment operators for road construction, because we as Tallahassee-Leon County have approved the sales tax 2020. We are guaranteeing $850 million worth of road construction projects over the next 20 years. I want to keep those local dollars local. I want to help our small businesses that are in the industry be able to get those contracts and be able to work here. But you ask anybody in the private industry and they'll tell you that they are having a hard time finding the skilled workforce to operate backhoes, operate front end loaders, operate graders. And so I see an opportunity for the city to help train a new workforce and help aid in a public-private partnership, the private industry, to be able to bring that to fruition. So number one, aggressively recruit new businesses to town. Number two, play a role in training a new workforce so that we can move the community forward.
No, those are very, very important things. And there's a lot of factors that go into growing our economy. One of the things the Chamber's been focused on in recent years is our airport. Just came off a very lively discussion at your city commission meeting last week, which was good. A lot of good news coming out of the airport, and lots of discussion community-wide about how to really turn that into an asset. What are your thoughts on the front?
Well, we've got an incredible airport. Last year, our airport was named the number one municipal serviced airport in the nation. And our interim airport director was also named the number one interim director in the nation. I cannot think of another community in the past 10 years that took both awards home. The airport is efficient, the airport is clean, and the airport will get you in and out of Tallahassee on business or pleasure. Yes, the price of flying out of Tallahassee at times can be more expensive than other communities. But I'd be more than willing to sit down with anybody and do a cost analysis of flying out of Jacksonville between the time it takes to get there, the gas it takes, your parking, whether you have to stay overnight to catch a morning flight versus flying out of Tallahassee and the efficiencies that we offer. So I encourage people to use your Tallahassee airport. One of the greatest ways that we can lower airfare is to build the number of people that are flying in and out of Tallahassee. But number two, we've got an amazing opportunity to expand our economic footprint and to develop around the airport. Currently, the airport is owned by the city of Tallahassee, and we also own about 750 acres of raw land that is prime for development. I think that we have an opportunity to get into the aeronautical industry, to be able to bring certain companies to town that work on airplanes, that train pilots, that center around international trade, which our international designation will help us a lot with as we move forward with the free trade zone as well. And so we've got great opportunities, but we got to have the leadership that's going to move us forward. I do know that the City Commission is committed to these issues. We're trying to figure out the right direction and how we get there, but we do have the shared same goal.
Yeah, that's great. Transition to another part of our economy and really our community as a whole. Last week, I had the chance to attend the Poverty Summit. I know your office was represented there. Very interesting conversation about sort of the state of some of maybe the more impoverished in our community. We went and took a bus tour around some certain areas, and lots of challenges there. Give me your thoughts on sort of how we combat poverty in the community and how we get some of these folks who maybe need a little bit of a hand up in our community? How do we get that part of our world moving in the right direction?
In no particular order. First and foremost, we have to expand our economic footprint. We have to provide more and better jobs so that people have a choice, especially those citizens that are coming out of incarceration. We have to be able to provide opportunities. If we don't provide opportunities, the recidivism rate is going to remain the same. If we want to lower the recidivism rate, it is our responsibility to provide opportunities. We need to do a better job working with our K-12 partners through the Leon County School System to make sure that people are receiving the education that they deserve and that they want to attain as well. We need to do a better job training our citizens in skilled work labor force, whether, again, it's brick masons, whether it's electricians, whether it's plumbers, whether it's welders, and provide those opportunities. Number two, public infrastructure. We need to do a better job providing public infrastructure, specifically in some of the neighborhoods that desperately needs it. We need to repave roads or pave roads. We need sidewalks. We need good street lighting. We also need in public infrastructure places where students can go after school and in a positive environment be able to do their homework, maybe get a snack or even get a meal, and then be able to explore themselves, whether it's through sports, whether it's through, you know, music recording or arts programming, instead of just being out on the streets per se. And that is a role that the city can positively play. Public infrastructure, job expansion. It's all about providing opportunities to both the students in our community and to the young adults and adults to be able to change their lives for the better. From a public safety standpoint, we need to do a better job and always will strive to do a better job to keep us safe, to make sure that we live in a safe city, which we do live in a safe city, but like all communities, we face our challenges. But every citizen has a right to live in a safe community. And again, a safe community with great public infrastructure, with job opportunities, and with other opportunities to take care of our kids as well. We have issues dealing with food deserts as well and being able to provide proper meals. Right now, the conversation's been centered around, do we bring another grocery store here or another grocery store there? And I think we need to break out of that mold and think more creatively. The end goal is fresh fruits and vegetables. The end goal is penetrating these areas that are food deserts and making sure that people have good, nutritious food that's readily available, that it's not too expensive. But there's also another step about, you know, helping people learn how to cook with fresh fruits and vegetables and how to be able to provide for their family a decent meal that's not just fast food all the time. And so I think we will accomplish a lot of our goals by thinking creatively. And if there's one thing that this commission has proven already is that we are tackling these hurdles and we are thinking creatively on how to do so.
No doubt. Yeah. And one of the things that I, you know, and we'll kind of maybe bring this all full circle here with a final thought. One of the things I thought was really impressive right when you came into office, you talk about all these issues that we have as a community, all the positives we have as a community. One of the things that is required is intergovernmental participation, intergovernmental coordination. And one thing that you did right off the bat that I think, you know, maybe folks haven't seen, or maybe they don't know enough about this, the dynamics, but I think it's an impressive thing worth talking about, is bringing leaders together from the city, the county, and the school board, kind of our three pillars of local government, to have maybe a better conversation coordination. Can you talk about that a little bit?
The relationship between the city, the county, and the school board is stronger than it's been in over two decades, easily. Part of it is I served with my good friends over at the county commission for 12 years, and I worked day in and day out with them. The chairwoman of the school board and the superintendent are personal friends as well. And so I had the idea of, look, in the 21st century, no longer can we say, you know, third grade reading scores are the responsibility of only the school board that handles K through 12. Nah, we all have skin in the game. I should be as concerned about the education of our community as an elected official on the school board, just like they should be just as concerned regarding food deserts and public safety. There is no geographic boundary when it deals with public safety between the city and the county. We are all in this together. So we are meeting on a regular basis, the mayor and the city manager, the chairman of the county commission and the county administrator, and the chairwoman of the school board and the superintendent. We are exchanging big ideas. We are sharing resources. And it's a great working relationship that we will carry on.
Well, that's fantastic. Mr. Mayor, this has been a wonderful conversation. Appreciate your insights on everything. Any final thoughts you want to leave everyone with about our community and about where you'd like to see us headed?
Two thoughts. First and foremost, Tallahassee is a great place to live. We are headed in the right direction. We are laser focused. I'd like to remind everybody, change does not happen overnight. Change needs to be deliberate, but it is coming because we've got a dynamic city commission. We all like each other. We're working well together, and we're heading in the right direction. My second and final comment is, Jay Revel, that is an impressive mustache you are growing right there. And keep it up, my man. I am just really, really impressed with the mustache.
Folks, you can't see that behind my buttery baritone voice here on the microphone, but you know, I got my master's mustache on here this morning, so things are looking up. I knew we couldn't end the podcast without some moment of levity, and here we have found it.
Thanks for having me on, Jay.
Thanks for being with us. Never let your former employer leave the podcast without rattling you, folks. Mr. Mayor, this has been a treat. It always is. It's good to see you, my friend.
It's been fun. Thanks.
Thanks for all your hard work moving our community forward. We live in an age where public servants are constantly criticized, constantly ridiculed, constantly under the microscope. No, it's not an easy thing to get up every day, put your beautiful bow tie on, and go out and represent our community so well. So on behalf of the members of the Chamber of Commerce, we appreciate you. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You got it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor John Daly, it's been always a pleasure to have him speaking to us here at the Chamber of Commerce about things going on in our community. And folks, remember, you can tune in to our podcast on any of your favorite listening channels. Make sure to go on, leave us a review, hit the 5 stars and the big like button there. That always helps us get the word out to more folks in Tallahassee about the message that we're trying to share with you via this platform. Be sure to go to www.townchamber.com for all your chamber information, and be sure to like us on all of your favorite social media platforms. Folks, we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thanks for being with us for another episode of the Chamber Podcast from Tallahassee, Florida. I'm Jay Revel, your host, signing off. Talk to you soon.